Bill Clinton didn't begin his term in the White House as a foreign affairs president. In contrast to his predecessor, the elder George Bush, President Clinton at first paid more attention to the details of budget and health care policy than to events in Russia, the Balkans, or the Middle East. It took years and many domestic political defeats before President Clinton would turn his full attention to foreign affairs, and even then his preference was for trade and economic policies, which he would argue provide direct benefits to American workers and consumers. Today, Morning Edition begins a five-part retrospective on Bill Clinton and the world. Part one focuses on the Clinton administration's record on arms control and nuclear nonproliferation. NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
Bill Clinton came into the White House behind a flood of arms control agreements. George Bush had signed the first Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, START I, with the last Soviet leader, Mikhail Gorbachev, and he had just signed a second START treaty with the first Russian president, Boris Yeltsin. It was natural to expect that Bill Clinton would continue this dramatic and swift reduction of nuclear weapons. After all, arms control had been a top foreign policy agenda item for all presidents going back to Eisenhower. Many thought his administration would go on to rewrite the doctrine of how the United States considered the possible use of nuclear weapons, one of the most controversial policies of the Cold War. David Holloway, an expert on nuclear policy at Stanford University, says Bill Clinton's presidency disappointed many who held those expectations back in 1993.
Both of those elements are important. It's not only the reductions, but perhaps even more importantly, the reconceptualization or the rethinking of what are nuclear weapons for, which would make it possible not to have so many targets on the target list and to really do what many people hoped would happen, and that is push nuclear weapons into the background so that they're there, but not in the forefront of policy.
But there have been no new arms reduction treaties with Russia during the Clinton years. There have been talks, but no final agreement. Indeed, START II has not been implemented and is stalled in mutual recriminations between the U.S. and Russia. Little change has been made to the nation's nuclear doctrine. In large measure, this stalemate can be traced to the 1994 election that put the Congress into the hands of the Republicans and elevated North Carolina Senator Jesse Helms to the chairmanship of the Foreign Relations Committee. Helms is a dedicated opponent of arms control agreements, and his committee has had the power to pass on or hold back treaties from the Senate. There were successes in the first few years of the Clinton presidency, nevertheless. The administration engineered the denuclearization of Ukraine, Belarus, and Kazakhstan, which had inherited thousands of the Soviet Union's nuclear weapons. And it expanded urgently needed help for Russia to protect insecure warheads and nuclear materials. David Holloway says the administration focused on what was politically feasible at the time.
What they did was they moved on what they could move on, and what was indeed also arguably the most urgent issue that they had to deal with. That's why I say it's a mixed picture. I think on some things they can be criticized for going slowly, but on other things I think they moved in a very active and imaginative way.
Still, Bill Clinton had other priorities. In 1994, he made the decision to expand NATO to include Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic. That angered the Russians and slowed down the process of arms control. Then the wars in the Balkans took up much of the president's attention. And by 1996, the president succumbed to political pressure on the issue of national missile defense, a step that would complicate profoundly the whole array of nonproliferation treaties and agreements. By the president's second term, the arms control agenda was in jeopardy, says Jack Mendelson, a former State Department specialist.
By acceding to that pressure, they basically opted for trying to survive politically back in Washington, rather than trying to work out agreements that would have had sort of international long-term impact on arms control. It was really, I think, an enormous failing of the administration to follow that path.
The Senate eventually did ratify the START II agreement, and the administration negotiated the Comprehensive Test Ban, a treaty prohibiting all nuclear explosive tests forever. President Clinton was the first to sign the test ban in 1996, but it would become his greatest defeat in arms control 3 years later when the Senate rejected it. Retired General John Shalikashvili, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has just submitted recommendations to the president on how to revive the test ban. Shalikashvili says the administration did not do its job when the test ban treaty came to the floor of the Senate.
The preparation on the part of those who were advocating the treaty were inadequate, and it's those inadequate preparation and the education process that must accompany such an effort, and so simply were not done properly, and that contributed to the outcome in October 99 when it did, in fact, come to the vote in the Senate.
That night, the president gave free rein to his frustrations at the defeat Senate conservatives had handed him.
Many Republican senators apparently committed to oppose this treaty before there was an agreement to bring it up, before they ever heard a single witness or understood the issues. Never before has a serious treaty involving nuclear weapons been handled in such a reckless and ultimately partisan way.
Since then, the president has focused on other foreign policy priorities, the Middle East and China most notably. Administration officials have submitted a draft START III treaty to Russia, and they have made progress with North Korea on ending its missile production and with China on stopping its proliferation activities. But the Clinton years will come to an end with no final deals in these areas. On the Republican side, many do not see this record as a failure. They rejoice that President Clinton was not able to do more to advance arms control agreements and cut nuclear stockpiles. Some on the Republican side believe the time has come to rethink many of the agreements that have been hallmarks of traditional arms control. One of those is Henry Sokolsky, an official in the Defense Department during the Bush administration.
What you have in the case of the Clinton administration is the running out of the clock on Cold War-style arms control, and what we don't yet know is exactly what will supersede it.
It is safe to say that one new factor above all will determine the course of future arms control and nonproliferation progress. That is missile defense. George W. Bush will take office on Saturday fully committed to a national missile defense system. During the campaign, he offered to couple that with further reductions of offensive nuclear weapons, a carrot for the Russians to entice them to accept a system that is a direct challenge to a core Cold War arms control agreement, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. The Clinton administration attempted to convince the Russians to amend the ABM treaty. Henry Sokolsky says the George W. Bush administration will have to go further.
Some things are going to have to be abandoned, yes. I think that the ABM treaty in particular is not going to see the light of day if you pursue trying to figure out how to deploy defenses in relation to offenses, because the ABM treaty was quite clear. It prohibits defenses, really. It makes it very difficult, so that while you can transition to some extent from that treaty to something new, at some point, you're going to have to abandon it.
The Clinton administration failed to assure Russia or China that missile defenses are not aimed at neutralizing their offensive nuclear arsenals.
You can argue till the end of time that's not what's going on, but we have to deal with perceptions, and we have to deal with the way nations themselves will react to our actions.
Again, arms control expert Jack Mendelson.
And on this one, I think we're going to have incredible difficulty in the next administration to work arms control with Russia and China, if we want to try to get them involved, as long as we've got this missile defense thing hanging over our head.
So after 8 years of difficulties in pursuing arms control goals, the outlook is uncertain for the next administration. George W. Bush's father tackled arms control with vigor. Bill Clinton was shackled by politics and had other priorities. The new president's approach to arms control is still unknown. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.